What you got?
You got some stuff on.
Mission committee meeting?
Stuff, good.
You can. It's the low hanging fruit of transit advocacy. The easiest thing you can do, always works.
Hi, we're going to call to order here in just a second. If y'all have a seat, please. Committee meeting for February 28th. I need everyone's conversations to stop, please. Thank you. Item number two on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the January 31st, 2022 meeting. Motion to approve and second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved unanimously. Item number three is public comments. Please come forward. It's 2 minutes. Give your name and address. And someone please keep time for me.
William Hamilton, 32 Soul Street. I wanted to let y'all know that we have initiated for the first time in 5 years the work getting people that stay in our hotels to ride the buses into the city. This helps the town of Mount Pleasant by allowing us to increase ridership on our buses. It also increases revenue to our hotels because we can out-compete Charleston. Once people know they can ride a bus straight downtown to the visitor center, ride the Dash buses for free, we're competing head-to-head with downtown Charleston at half their price point and a bigger pool. It is a war we win every time people know. We probably need some better postcards and some better posters. That may cost a little money. I'm going to try to draft some stuff and send it to you to consider to do that. It's a really small, we're talking about a couple of $100. I'm going to let Rose Pelt speak next. She actually went and did some of the door-to-door with the hotels. If you have any questions about her reaction, what people told her, you can ask her. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Rose, you're up.
Name, address, in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, good morning. Alina Peltz, 1054 In and Out Boulevard. I did do some outreach with the hotels here in Mount Pleasant, and it seems like that the managers and general managers of the hotel are in good support of it. They'd really like to see increased bus transportation services in Mount Pleasant to be able to get their staff back and forth to work more efficiently. A lot of them didn't even know that CARTA had the transit app, so we were showing them how to download that. And after having stayed in downtown hotels, it definitely would be better if they could stay in Mount Pleasant, cheaper rates, hop the bus, go downtown and take all the noise to downtown, to Bangkok Lounge, where they want karaoke 7 nights a week and start at 5 p.m. and don't close till 2 a.m. They don't have that here in Mount Pleasant. It's all in downtown. So I think it would be a win-win for everybody, and it seemed like we got some good feedback from the hotels on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Public comment. Is that it? Going once. All right. Thank you both very much.
Well, go out and do more transit outreach.
Item number four is review and approval of fiscal year 22 traffic calming program recommendations. Who would be handling that?
Mr. Mayor, we're going to have James come up and handle that.
All right.
Or maybe it's Gary. I'm not sure.
Where's Gary?
Maybe it's going to be me, Mayor.
You go ahead.
Okay. This is an annual approval that the committee does. It coincides with our schedule and how we've developed the traffic calming program. So the first part of the year, we get the approvals, and hopefully we can go ahead and bid and bill it out before the end of the fiscal year. So
okay.
what you have in front of you is, I won't bother, I will put it up here, but you won't be able to read it, so we gave you a copy to look at yourselves. So we had 6 applications this year. You can see green and yellow. The yellow means that we are still, as we typically do, provide a little bit more time for those folks working on their petition areas to complete them, but otherwise they have qualified on the speed. So with this grading system that you've seen before, we have them ranked 1 through 6, and you can see on the right side the total for each, the cost for each implementation, which these will be the rubber speed cushions, and one of them has cushions and a table. That's number one. And then there's a cumulative amount running down the right side. So the total for this year that assuming that the six all come in with their petition areas, would be about $95,000. We allocate about 60. But I suspect one or two of these may fall out, and with some other funding that we have within the same budget category, we'll probably be able to reach all of them. But if we don't, then we take them in priority order on how we can fund them. So what we typically ask the committee to do is make this approval contingent upon any outstanding surveys being handed back in, and then we'll move forward to bid.
Explain to me again, the green ones, those are good to go?
Yes, sir.
Yellow, they are not quite there yet?
They have to hand in a petition that reaches the 75% approval level. And that's often a difficult thing, depending on how big the area is.
Right. And how much time do they have to do that?
I'm going to guess maybe another few weeks, because if we get approval today, we'll immediately, we have this kind of prepackaged, it'll go out to bid, but, you know, a few more weeks.
Okay. Will we be seeing this again?
No, sir.
No?
No, sir. If they meet it, they've met all the criteria for the program, it's just, we're giving them a little bit more time.
Got it. And then the one that failed down here, that was a radar sign for Rivertown? Is that right? Country Club?
That was a previous request. That's actually, the petition failed as just the key. So there was not, it was the key for the, so we don't have the green and the yellow, but we should have had the green and the yellow there. It was just the key to tell you what the color code meant. But we didn't have any that failed. We didn't have any that failed because they didn't meet the speed criteria.
Okay. Got it. So if we get all of these and they come in and there's a budget deficit, what do we do them by their rank, by their total points?
Yes, sir. We just go down the list, and I think one of these is probably going to fall out, possibly two. And if two fall out, we'll probably be right at the budget. But we do have some discretion within that budget line item to move some money. If it's a few, you know, $15,000 to $20,000, we could probably reach it.
Okay. So if let's say one met the criteria, they were a green, but we ran out of money because they were the ones with the higher points, right? Went first, do they automatically come in next year? In other words, will they be qualified for the next round of funding?
Yes, they become the top next year.
Got it. Does that make sense?
So we don't get a chance at approving extra funds for that, then?
Good question.
I don't think there's any necessity for that. We have the capability to, if I had to, I could fully fund it, but I don't think that's where we're going to be. I don't think we're going to be at a $35,000 deficit. So, and if we did, we could do it.
And just a quick question.
Yep.
So how do you end up under non-qualifying and then did not complete application? Does that mean they started the application, just didn't finish it?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
We get that a lot. They start and they realize that what it's going to take to do the petition area, and they do not pursue it.
Just lose heart. Is it just super complicated?
It just depends on the area. It depends on the specific location. I mean, a petition area could be small, it could be very large, depending on what they're wanting to do, so.
And is that something we could ever look at?
Is what? The petition criteria?
Yeah, like, is it too?
Is that town or state dictated?
That's our criteria.
The petition criteria?
Yes.
Interesting.
I guess we could, right? We could look at it.
You can.
We write the law.
You have in the past. You've looked at it in the past. We went over this 4 years ago.
Yeah, we've looked at it. Nationwide study.
I think I remember.
A few times.
You know, the petition area is really defined by, if you don't have a reasonable alternative to avoid, if you don't want to see the humps and you don't have a reasonable alternative to avoid them, then you're in the petition area, so you can have a say over that petition.
Say that again?
If we're considering application of humps on a roadway, and you are kind of behind that area, and you don't have any reasonable alternative to avoid the humps in another route, then you are required to be in the petition area, so you have a say.
Got it.
Okay.
In other words, everybody that's reasonably deemed to be affected by it has a say-so.
Yes, yes. Much easier, better way of saying that.
I'm not an engineer, so. I put it in layman's terms as a layman. Yeah, I told you when I asked you to be on this committee, I have learned that putting rubber cushions, speed humps, or traffic calming is much more involved and complicated than I ever thought before I sat on this committee. For a reason, I get it, but it's a long, involved process.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's such a life-changing when it happens for that neighborhood.
Right.
That, you know, do we look at how hard it is to get them? Just putting that out there.
Yep, got it. So what is required of us today? You need a vote to approve these?
That's what we typically have, yes, sir. Just approve the prioritized list, and we'll go down and implement as much funding as we have.
Okay.
I'll move for approval, but I've got a couple of questions.
All right, we have a motion, second, discussion. Mr. Chapman?
On the Founders Way, item number one, where are we with the traffic signal at Rifle Range Road in Founders Way?
It's a condition of the impact assessment.
That's correct.
And it's not, last time we looked, it would not meet warrants. It doesn't mean that it won't one day. So it's something we can re-engage the consultant with to determine whether we should do another warrant study at this time. We can look at that, Mr. Chapman.
Well, I'd like to get the consultant to do their warrant study again, please. That's my first question. My second question is, in terms of the financial issue with the deficit, is there a way where you would maybe reduce the number of cushions to be within budget, or is that not something that you would do?
I don't know the specific layout of all these applications, but Gary's normally very good about is within that 300 to 600 foot range to do the most optimal spacing without putting too many in. And so while there might be an opportunity, if you get a spacing greater than that, you'll see the speed come up. So, but it's something we can look at, Mr. Chapman.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor of the motion to approve this list, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number five is review of beach traffic issues discussed with the Isle of Palms and Sullivan's Island. There was a small meeting that was held about a week or so ago, and it was at the request of the new Isle of Palms mayor, Philip Pounder, and he's just trying to get ahead of the curve before beach season gets here. And let me say, this is not about parking. That's between them and the state. This was about traffic as it affects Sullivan's Island, and their mayor, Pat O'Neill, was there, and I was there, and Officer Carter was there for us. And what we did was, first we heard from the Isle of Palms, because they are sort of the point of origin of some of the backups, and one of the reasons for that, and they had met with Charleston County Parks, is the cumbersome procedure for getting the people parked in the aisle in the county park there. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I think there are 500 parking spaces in there. Anybody know, Chief? It's in the hundreds. All right. So let me start with this, and we'll sort of come back, because we'll start at the epicenter and come back to Mount Pleasant. So they tried to get Charleston County Parks to do what every parking garage does. You don't pay on the way in at a parking garage. You pay on the way out. You go in and you get parked and you clear out of the way. And they did not make any headway with Charleston County Parks on doing that. They didn't make any headway on using kiosk. They didn't make any headway on using your cell phone, as we have in parts of Mount Pleasant, private parking, of course. So that's one of the issues, is that parking at the county park starts causing a backup. One of the other things they have done is that South Carolina Department of Transportation funded a study on the connector modifications that were made. And of course, emergency access is critical. And there has not been any dramatic increase in response time so far. If you drive it, you wonder how that could be, because with the new striping and everything, it seems very different. I don't want to speak for them and their study. We're not part of that study. And Brad, if any of that involves us, because my question was, and the consultant is our consulting out of Maryland, would there be any aspect of Mount Pleasant in that study? It seems like there would, because we're connected to the other side of the IOP connector. So I don't know if you have heard from them, if they're involving us, if they got any info from us for that study.
Not yet, but since we were aware of this, we'll reach out to the district traffic engineer and of course offer our availability to participate.
Okay, that would be great. And they want to, at some point, expand the entire corridor study to include Mount Pleasant, which we would certainly be for, because it's not just a problem on the islands, it's a problem in the town of Mount Pleasant when the connector or Rifle Range backs up, or Ben Sawyer, which then we know 17 will back up as well. So we started talking about other things that that we might could do, that could, you know, the little thing where the smallest change gets you the biggest result. So one would be the parking for the county park. If there's any way that that we could work with the county parks or something on that. I know it's not located in our municipality, obviously, but apparently that's the first of the big problems that they have. The second of the big problems that they have is when all the parking fills up, then you have people either riding around or stopping and waiting, you know, for somebody to pull out. And Eric, I think you were in this meeting, a bunch of us were on by Zoom a year ago, or was it two? I think it was a year ago, where Secretary Hall said for every 1 minute that traffic is stopped, it takes 5 to 6.5 minutes for it to resume at a normal pace. So when you have people that are getting on the Island Palms and realizing, oh, the parking lot's full at the county park, and then they go around for the other paid parking, and then they look for the freed parking, obviously you got a very slow situation, cumbersome situation. So one of the ideas that we put out there that I wanted to bring back here, and I guess this would involve chief and police and traffic, is we started thinking, you know, we have that Beach Reach app, and it gives you some real-time information. But I think a step past that might be if the three municipalities, maybe the county, and maybe the state highway department could do on beach, you know, season Saturdays and maybe Sundays, pick the times when we have the biggest choke point. Is it 10 a.m., 11 a.m. on a nice beach day, when we know those parking spaces are going to fill up and the traffic's going to start backing up? If by some partnership we could have a real-time traffic and parking update from the two islands, if Mount Pleasant needed to jump in there and say, you know, the connector is backed up this many minutes, we know they could get that off the Beach Reach, but apparently it's not working. But information here might be key. Another choke point is when a thunderstorm comes up, everybody leaves the islands at once, and the Isle of Palms said that's just the worst nightmare, because everybody's trying to get out of the county park, people are mad, you know, the kids are crying, you're picking up your coolers and, you know, all that stuff. In the old days, you wouldn't have gotten to finish your beer, but you can't take your beer to the beach anymore, so apparently that's not an issue. But if something like that happens and we can get out there, hey, everybody's leaving the beach right now because there's a thunderstorm, you know, you might want to rethink it. Anything that keeps traffic from backing up into the town of Mount Pleasant and clogging our main roads is going to help. Whether that's feasible or not, I don't know. But like, if we could put out there, you know, Facebook Live or Instagram or whatever, at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., you'll get a traffic and parking update. Tune in, and it'll help you plan better. Maybe, you know, letting folks and giving them the information to navigate or choose to go to Folly might be answer to that. There was one other thing, and I can't read my own writing on that. But anything that we can do in those, with those consultants, and I see here that they are starting in March, so they wouldn't have reached out to us yet. But anything we can do to help them know what it's like on our end. Officer Carter was telling them, you know, how sometimes we have a manual override on the lights when that's needed. I know that James has reported to us that we found some places where equipment was not working optimally on some of our lights, so hopefully that won't be a problem this beach season. But I wanted to see if council members or staff had some other ideas on things we can do. I think every year we probably get better at this. I don't think we found the magic bullet yet. Oh, I know what that last one was. Also, we have the bus and the Beach Reach bus. We would love to double ridership on that. It was sort of a joke at Carter, but not a whole joke at Carter, that if that thing got a police escort and you rode that bus and went all the way out and you didn't have to wait in traffic, that people would be lining up to ride the bus, you know, from Mount Pleasant. I don't think that's going to happen, but the bus has to wait in traffic just like everybody else. But we would love to double ridership on that. I think we did a good job, and everybody knows we partnered with the Isle of Palms. Eric, I think we split the cost of that, didn't we? Yeah, we split the cost with the Isle of Palms of that. I don't know if we need to reauthorize that this year or if we just do it. I know it's a pretty low budget level. I'm thinking it was like $8,000 last year. But every little bit helps. And Howard, especially with your background, I don't know what your thoughts are about the restriping of the bridge on the connector or any other traffic suggestions that might help this make it more manageable for our citizens.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mayor.
Sure.
Isle of Palms also now has a transportation engineer on their council. So I think that probably helped to expedite this, and I've had some conversations with Mr. Morrison. One of the other issues for exiting is there is a portion of Isle of Palms Connector on the Mount Pleasant side coming off the bridge that could be widened. And I'm curious where that is. I know we talked about it last year, Mr. Morrison, and I know that's something that we talked to DOT about. Do you know where that is?
I can shed some light on that. We have a, and James has worked this out with both the county and the DOT on a remarking plan that will force all the traffic to the signal in a more efficient way. So it's not necessarily a widening, but as you may observe, a lot of that right lane on the approach to the signal is not utilized because people don't use it. Well, with this marking plan, you don't really have a choice. It's going to basically move you to the left and back over and force you into that lane. So that is supposed to be completed, we're hoping, before the end of May.
And DOT's going to do that.
That's the county is going to do that through the resurfacing project. Yes, sir. So that's where we're at with that. And I would expect you'd get a good bit of capacity by doing that.
All right. And I'm surprised that didn't come up in your meeting there.
Yeah.
But that's all I had.
Right.
Brenda? Brad, does adding a body ever help in your experience, like putting an officer to manage? And just because usually it is people doing something they're not paying attention or just...
It can. It's best to let the signal up to a certain point do it, but when it becomes oversaturated, then you can just have the officer do it at his will, and he can observe things a little bit better than just the detection. So we do have plans. We have Saturday and Sunday, even Friday, I think. Plans, we call them beach plans, I'll call them beach plans, for May through September. So it is different. We will, in the study, it'd be interesting if they do volume, give us some volume information, then we can look to maybe tweak our parameters for even those times to make them more specialized. So there are times when an officer can do it better, but not that often.
Okay.
We were one of the ideas we discussed was we were wondering how, like, you know, when you leave a football game, right, you know they're going to have the cones and everybody's turning right or whatever. And we were wondering what level, and most of this would obviously be at the islands. And I think Sullivan's Island right now at the corner of Middle Street and where you come in on Ben Sawyer, you know, I think they don't allow left turns. I don't know if it's any time, but I know it's during the beach season. We were wondering if through some combination on the islands and in the town of Mount Pleasant to give people an incentive, you know, from 4 to 5 o'clock, or maybe in the summer it's 5 to 6 o'clock or whatever. We have an express turning lane or something that is easy to set up, you know, kind of like we do with Boone Hall. You know, the cones are out, the police car's there, the lights are on, and you know, if you're going to an event at Boone Hall, you're getting in that lane and you're going in there. So I think Officer Carter was thinking about some things. I think the islands were thinking about some things to say, hey, everybody, this is a good time to leave the beach. If you want to get, the getting's good now. And if we can come up with something that works, I'm not saying we can, just these type things that don't involve new roads, new right-of-way, new signals or whatever, might just help clean the traffic out quicker and avoid the backups that we're seeing at other times. So if you've got any ideas on that, it'd be...
I think those types of options are excellent. Ought to be looked at, particularly in the study, and it really does come down to resources. Yes, if you don't have to build anything significant like that, right. If it's temporary and it's just the resource of putting a person out there to set it up for that time, and it gains you a lot of just relief.
Right.
And certainly we ought to be considering that. And I don't think that those things have been considered before, so I'm hopeful that, you know, we could at least bring that topic up, and at least on the island side, on the egress, and in the entering, like, you already had an idea about the park, so maybe there's some other concepts there.
Okay. And I anticipate these conversations are going to continue. We haven't drawn the conclusions yet. We're just in the idea phase, and it would be really nice to continue this with the islands. I know they're very interested in working with us on these things. And let me ask too, Brad, were you saying that we have a different, like, timing sequence for our lights to get traffic, you know, to the islands and then off the islands? Is that what that...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The good thing is that signal's somewhat isolated from the rest of the system, so we can be more liberal in how we portion the time. And if we, I think we're already running, I'll call it a cycle length. It's not really truly that, but it's over 220 seconds. So that's close to 4 minutes of a cycle length. That's a very long cycle length to account for all that traffic coming off that. Most of that on a Saturday is on the IOP approach. Mm-hmm. So if you're on rifle range, you're going to sit a while. But so there's only so much you can do with that. We're, you know, try to have someone wait for 3 minutes. We get calls already. So, so there's a fine line there in the balance. But yes, sir, we can certainly look at those too.
Okay. All right, let's continue this conversation, and any ideas we get from police department or from transportation, let's do them. And Howard, I would love if you would come to a meeting on this, or just go for us.
Okay.
Sometime if you can do it. Thank you very much. Any others on that?
Good stuff.
Any other updates?
Mayor, I know that y'all are pushed on time, and unless you have anything specific you want to ask, we can send out just a brief update via email.
I think that would be good.
Okay, we'll do that.
That would be good. All right, if there's nothing more for this committee, we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you.